Chapter 41. They were all dead. All of Randy's new friends from the Horse Head Inn. All of his disciples. Every one of them gone now, and it was all his fault. Looking down at the ramparts, all Randy could see were charred, smoldering bodies lying all over each other, their efforts not having made a lick of difference. The air was thick with smoke and the scent of roasted meat. It turned Randy's stomach. The dragons were setting every flammable building in the city alight. Zombies were running rampant in the streets, and the big flying boat was practically on top of them now. Professor Goosewaddle had thrown every spell he could think of at it, but it hadn't so much as scratched the hull.
"You done fucked up good this time, Randy."
Randy turned around to find Denise, completely unharmed, standing at the top of the stairs.
"Denise, you're okay."
"No thanks to you."
"How'd you survive the fire?"
"By not being in it," said Denise. "I got down off the wall as soon as your back was turned."
"You're a coward," said Randy. "You know that?"
"So says the hero hiding up here in the tower."
"I was here at the request of the king. Ain't that right, Professor?"
Professor Goosewaddle nodded.
"You tell yourself whatever you gotta say to get through the day, but it's this new self-righteous bullshit act you've been running. This will get all them folks out there killed tonight."
Randy's eyes and cheeks burned with shame and frustration.
"I know."
Denise looked like she was going to say more, but shook her head.
"Don't matter none now. What's important is that we're still alive."
That wasn't what Randy needed to hear. He stared despondently out the window at the bodies on the rampart. The boat shone its green light along the bodies and up the gate tower. When it shone on Randy, he doubled over with a sudden wave of nausea.
"Listen, Randy,"
Denise continued.
"This party's going to shit. We need to get back to the inn, and you need to let me do what I gotta do to get Mordred to send us back home."
Randy's insides were churning. He wanted to throw up, but nothing was coming out.
"Well, well," said a raspy voice at the door. "Look who it is."
"Friend of yours?"
said Professor Goosewaddle. Randy looked up. The man at the door was badly burnt. Randy might not have recognized him if not for the smoothness of his shaven head.
"Stuart? How's the view from up here?"
said Stuart.
"Can you see my dead wife?"
"Stuart,"
Randy choked up the words, delirious with pain.
"I'm sorry."
"My wife is dead, Randy. I wanted to come up here and tell you that."
"Well,"
said Denise, gazing down at the wall,
"you're half right."
"What?"
Stuart limped to the window.
"Rose!"
Randy shook off the pain as best he could and grabbed Stuart by the leg.
"No, Stuart, that ain't Rose."
Stuart wrested his leg free, kicked Randy hard in the face, and climbed out the window. The pain in Randy's probably broken nose was nothing compared to the pain in his twisted guts. Denise shook her head.
"You know, you see that shit play out in every zombie show or movie, and you think real people would know better. Guess I was wrong."
Randy contemplated using divine power to heal his nose, but it felt selfish when so many others had suffered so much more. He put the thought out of his head.
"Goddamn, them zombies can pack a punch,"
said Denise.
"We can go ahead and cancel Stuart's ticket home."
The pain in Randy's guts began to subside, but there was no relief to his crushing despair. He'd had everything he ever wanted in life. Friendship, camaraderie, respect, acceptance. He'd been part of something. He mattered. And now it was all gone.
I didn't know it would be so hopeless."
"Despair not, my friend,"
said Professor Goosewaddle, producing a worn, naugahyde-covered book from within his robes. Randy's vision was blurry through tears, but it looked like...
"Is that a Bible?"
"I've been reading up a bit."
The professor opened the book and scanned down a page.
"Ah, here it is. Psalms 34:17-18.
"Oh, shit,"
said Denise.
"That's the one from Pulp Fiction, ain't it? Goosewaddle's about to fuck some shit up."
Professor Goosewaddle ignored Denise and read his selected passage.
"When the righteous cry out, the Lord listens. He delivers them from their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirits are crushed."
Denise frowned.
"That ain't the one from Pulp Fiction."
"Of course," said Randy. "It's just like the king said."
He smiled at Denise.
"I know how to make this right."
"Randy, you already done shit in the chili. There ain't no making this right."
Randy bowed his head and folded his hands.
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name."
"Hallow?"
said Professor Goosewaddle.
"Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven.
Jesus Christ, Randy, said Denise. This ain't the time.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Bread?
The professor spoke in a reverent whisper.
And forgive us our trespasses.
Come on, Randy. Shit in one hand and pray in the other, you know? We gotta bounce.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
They're coming up the stairs, said the professor. God, Randy!
Randy heard the lumbering footsteps climbing the stairs, but dared not open his eyes.
And lead us not into temptation.
You back the fuck up,
shouted Denise. This was followed by a grunt and a crash.
But deliver us from evil.
The groans of at least a dozen zombies rose from the direction of the staircase.
Randy, I need your help.
Randy's heart quickened.
For that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
When he opened his eyes, he saw Denise standing at the top of the stairwell. She held her axe out in front of her, but seemed to have reservations about using it. She kicked zombies back down the stairs as each one lunged at her.
I can't hold them back much longer.
Hang on, said Randy. I'm coming.
This way,
shouted Professor Goosewaddle from outside the east window. He was on a knotted rope, climbing up to the roof. Denise Waddle ran past Randy and looked out the window.
That rope ain't tied to nothing. It's magic,
the professor's voice called down.
Hurry!
The idea of climbing a magically suspended rope must have been preferable to facing whatever was coming up the stairs, because Denise didn't hesitate long before grabbing the rope and pulling herself out of the window. The front of the zombie crowd reached the top of the stairs, and Randy's worst fears were realized when he recognized familiar faces. Frank, even in death, continued to lead his people. Half of his face and his entire beard had burnt away, but it was definitely him. His little zombie gnome groans had a certain distinction. Randy could hear Frank's voice in them. Behind Frank were two soldiers, their armor having been warped by dragonfire, and their forearms little more than blackened meat on bone. They had tried to shield themselves from the flames. Gus, the queer half-orc who Randy had been eager to talk to again, stood head and shoulders above the rest of the zombies piling into the top floor of the gate tower. He shoved his way past the soldiers and stepped over Frank, his dead eyes staring, hungry for Randy's living flesh.
I'm sorry, Gus, said Randy.
He grabbed the rope and pulled himself up just in time to pull his foot away from Gus's grasp. Gus fell forward out of the window and plummeted to the wall, where he crushed two more zombies. The rest of the zombie crowd at the window reached up for Randy as he scooted up the rope. Randy looked up. It was indeed disconcerting to see the top of the rope sticking up like a middle finger to gravity. But up was the only way to go, so Randy climbed. Denise and Professor Goosewaddle were both hugging the top of the conical roof. The blue wooden shingles looked fine from ground level, but up close they showed signs of severe decay. The angle of the roof also presented a problem. It was a little too steep for Randy's liking. He slowly marine crawled his way to the top and joined the others.
Now what?
Asked Denise.
Just hold tight and wait for Jesus, said Randy.
Wait for... Randy, have you lost your goddamn mind?
He'll come.
Randy had no logical reason to believe his prayer would work. Praying had never solved any of his problems back on Earth. His mama had tried to pray the gay out of him, but that hadn't worked for shit. But for some reason, Randy had absolutely no doubt in his mind that this prayer had been heard and would soon be answered.
Bullshit,
said Denise.
It don't do you no good mumbling our fathers when what we really need is a Hail Mary.
Randy nodded.
I suppose it couldn't hurt. Hail Mary, full of grace.
Shut the fuck up, Randy,
said Denise.
I meant like in football, a last ditch act of desperation, a long pass into the end zone, hoping that one of your receivers can. What the fuck are all those people doing?
The roof of the Southgate Tower provided an excellent view of the city, all the way to the Royal Palace. Randy, too, thought it odd that people had stopped running away from the chaos at the gate and now seemed to be running toward it.
Maybe they feared they ain't got nothing to lose and decided to stand up for themselves.
Doubtful, said Professor Goosewaddle.
They're unarmed, unorganized, and still clearly terrified. They're running from something.
The tower shook as a giant white leg stepped out from behind the palace. Giant, that is, in relation to the palace. It was actually pretty short for the plump white body it was connected to.
Holy fucking shit,
said Denise.
It's the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
That had been Randy's first thought as well when the massive creature lumbered out onto the main avenue. but something about it was wrong.
Uh-uh, said Randy. Stay Puffed wears a sailor's hat and a blue sailor's collar. That thing's wearing a white scarf and a chef's hat.
He gulped.
It's the Pillsburg Dough Child.
Have you two lost control of your senses?
Asked Professor Goosewaddle, his old eyes welling up with tears.
Do you not know the face of the new God, Jesus Christ, when you see it?
The what?
Pieces started falling into place in Randy's mind. That cheap, naugahyde-covered Bible. Goosewaddle had swiped that from a church. His peculiar reverence for bread. He'd taken Holy Communion, gotten it fixed in his mind that Jesus' body was made out of bread, and jumped to a conclusion when he'd seen an ad for biscuits or crescent rolls somewhere. The game had created the image of its new god according to the description that Goosewaddle had provided the High Priestess.
Oh no, Professor! We've made a terrible mistake!
Denise's face was a mask of confusion and terror.
What did you do, Randy?
The towering mass of sentient dough smiled and waved at the screaming Cardinians as it waddled toward the south gate. With each step, the flaming skeletons of the city's more stalwart buildings collapsed in on themselves.
Foolish mortals!
Boomed a voice from the bow of the flying boat, which had stopped advancing. It hovered just above the western part of the southern city wall. A figure stood, dressed in black armor, its glowing red eyes peering out from the shadow of a great horned helmet, its skeletal hands raised in clenched fists.
Is this the best resistance you can offer? This impressively large, yet oddly adorable golem? Your efforts insult your future king. The sun has set on the day of the living. Once my dragons reduce your pitiful champion to a smoldering pile of ash, I shall rule a city of the dead. Dragons, attack!
Between the seismic damage caused by the giant dough monster and the fire damage of the dragons, the city was in pretty bad shape. Wooden buildings caught a moment of reprieve as the two dragons refocused their attention on their new target.
Jesus, watch out!
Randy cried as the dragons beat the smoky air with their red leathery wings, each of them gunning for the dough child from opposite directions. The new god raised his massive dough head, looked at Randy with its vacant, black, circular eyes, and gave him a friendly wink. He seemed blissfully unaware of the dragons closing in on him. The dragons inhaled deeply as they approached, filling their internal furnaces with air, then spewed out twin plumes of fire down on the unsuspecting dough child. Randy nearly lost his hold on the tower roof when the new god fell to his doughy knees, shielding his face from the blasts with arms that were soon aflame.
No!
Randy cried as the dragons retreated to recharge their lungs. He closed his eyes and pressed his face against the tiles. He couldn't stand to watch Jesus burn.
Look, said Professor Goosewaddle. He is risen.
Randy opened his eyes. The new god had gotten to his feet again, his face no longer cheerful. His black eyes were now semicircular in shape, tilting down toward his nose. The curvature of his mouth had reversed downward. He had his angry face on. He held his arms out to his sides, and his burnt skin flaked off like the outer layer of a croissant, revealing fresh, doughy skin underneath. The smoky air now had a trace of buttery goodness. When the dragons circled around for their second pass, the new god was ready for them. The significance of his crucifixion-like posture only became clear to Randy when he opened his hands to reveal holes in his doughy palms. Randy was confused, ashamed, scared, and hopeful at the same time.
This is just all kinds of wrong, said Denise.
The dragons made their charge, sucking in great lungfuls of pastrified air, preparing to rain down another fiery assault. When they opened their mouths, their flames were blocked by jets of red fluid shooting out of the dough child's crucifixion wounds. They resisted at first, but the new god was unrelenting, shooting more blood out of his palms than should have been possible. After a moment of turning their heads against the spray, the dragons seemed to have a change of heart. They each faced the palms directed at them with their open mouths, greedily gulping down as much of the new god's blood as they could. The dough child was smiling again.
Wretched lizards!
Cried the figure on the flying boat.
You're supposed to attack the golem, not drink its blood!
The new god stopped shooting blood out of his hands, and the dragon to his right lazily flew toward him and swiped at his face with one of its huge clawed forearms. It missed by at least 10 feet, and the dragon was promptly swatted out of the air by the same hand it had just been drinking from. The dragon slammed into the bottom of the right gate tower, which collapsed down on it. Rising up from the rubble on unsteady legs, it stood eye to eye with Randy. The eye, which was nearly as big as Randy, suddenly grew even wider. The dragon's scaly cheek puffed out for a second just before it threw up all over the shambling horde of zombies and fell over.
"Well, I'll be goddamned," said Denise. "That motherfucker's trashed,"
Randy thought for a moment.
"You mean, like, drunk?"
"I mean fucking shit-faced. Come on, Randy, I'm a cop. You think I can't spot a drunk dragon when I see one?"
Randy glared at Professor Goosewaddle.
"That ain't blood, is it?"
Goosewaddle looked back at him defensively.
"You know as well as I, the new god bleeds wine."
"Of course he does."
The other dragon seemed to be faring a little better. The Doe Child had dealt with it in similar fashion to the first one. It was struggling to its feet near a dragon-sized pile of former wall, but at least it hadn't... Ugh. Randy was at a better angle to see the torrent of vomit which erupted from the second dragon's mouth. This one had apparently eaten more recently than the first. Randy was able to recognize partially digested halves of livestock in the red soupy mess raining down on the zombies below. The screams coming from the base of the tower grew louder and more intense, which surprised Randy. He figured they'd have all turned into zombie groans by now. One particular cry stood out from the rest.
"Rose!"
Stuart's voice cried out.
"Rose!"
How could he still be alive? He was in bad shape before he climbed out of the tower window and got mauled by zombies. His voice wasn't half as surprising, however, as the one that answered.
"Stuart! What happened? Oh my god! What is that?"
Rose had no doubt just spotted the 100-foot-tall doe monster. Randy looked over at the vomit-covered zombies near the second dragon. They weren't shambling. They were all kind of just standing there, looking confused and horrified. They were alive.
"Randy," said Professor Goosewaddle, "you've done it. The new god's blood is returning life to the dead."
"Impossible,"
bellowed the enraged captain of the flying boat.
"What manner of magic is this?"
With a wave of his bony hands, the boat's sails pivoted on their masts. The boat changed course and started moving again. The jagged, pointy bowsprit was pointed right at the new god, who was, once again, smiling and waving at the screaming, blood-covered masses. His anger turned to laughter as his boat flew toward the new god.
"Enjoy your last breaths of life, mortals. Your sorcerous tricks are no match for the Phantom Pinnace."
"Oh no," said Randy. "He's gonna ram Jesus."
"Uh-uh," said Denise. "Don't no man poke his penis in my Lord and Savior. Professor, move the rope."
Randy followed the path the boat was taking. With the aid of Goosewaddle's rope, Denise might have a chance at boarding, but...
"How you gonna get past that force field?"
"Look at all them arrows sticking out of the bottom. That shield blocks magical attacks, but it don't do shit against regular stuff."
Professor Goosewaddle repositioned his rope, and Denise jumped and grabbed hold of the nearest end.
"I'm really angry,"
she shouted. Her muscles ballooned out until she looked like a very short linebacker. She swung along the magically suspended rope, one hand after the other, like a gorilla at the zoo, just as the boat was coming into range.
"Oh, fuck,"
she shouted as the rope went limp and she plummeted toward the ground, where she smacked into a large puddle of Jesus blood. Randy hoped that would sort her out.
"Oh, dear,"
said Professor Goosewaddle.
"The anti-magic field canceled out the rope spell. I really should have thought of that."
The Pillsburg Doe Child took no evasive action as the bowsprit of the Phantom Pinnace plunged deep into his belly. His little black eyes grew to twice their normal size as his mouth gaped open. Randy watched in horror as the flying boat pierced through the flesh of this god he had accidentally called into being.
"I'm sorry, Jesus."
But the boat had not pierced the flesh, as became evident when the new god's belly expanded outward again, hurtling the Phantom Pinnace, bow over stern, back over the city wall.
"Hoo-hoo!"
bellowed the new god, cheerfully rubbing his belly as the Phantom Pinnace crashed into the ground outside. The citizens had mostly gotten over the initial horror of having just been resurrected from the dead and covered in blood, or they were willfully postponing the shock to cheer for the new god and wrestle their still undead friends and family members into puddles of dragon vomit. The new god helped out, shooting jets of fresh wine blood into wandering groups of zombies. He shot one jet into the top floor window of the left gate tower, just below where Randy and Professor Goosewaddle were still clinging to the roof.
Wow!
Frank screamed.
Jesus Christ!
Shouted Gus. As more and more people were resurrected and had time to come to terms with what was going on, shouts of praise and thanks overtook the shouts of alarm and shock, until it seemed like everyone in the city was celebrating at the new god's doughy feet. Even the orcs, who had arrived with hatred in their hearts, now laid down their weapons and bowed low before the giant dough child. One person, however, was not feeling particularly cheery. Timon Bloodsoul marched through the destroyed south gate, his skeletal hands crackling with purple lightning. As soon as the new god was in his line of sight, he thrust his hands forward, unleashing a barrage of purple bolts.
I have underestimated you people,
said Timon Bloodsoul, as the new god dropped to his knees, his doughy flesh burning and bubbling in a shell of purple electricity. He advanced.
I was not expecting to face a lesser god, but it matters not. I am Timon Bloodsoul. Even gods are at the mercy of my awesome power. Let this be a lesson to any who would...
The lightning stopped. Timon Bloodsoul looked at his hands as new flesh began to grow on them. He removed his helmet, exposing a youthful face and flowing blonde hair. He looked down at his feet. He was standing in a puddle of dragon vomit.
I'm alive.
Thwack, 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 thwack. The fletching of 50 or more arrows sprouted out of Timon Bloodsoul's face, neck, and armor at once. For a moment, he stood still like a half-elven cactus, then fell face first into the puddle of dragon puke, the restorative powers of which apparently only work once.
You reckon it's safe to get down now?
Randy asked Professor Goosewaddle. The professor's eyes still looked tired, but they had their cheerful gleam back.
Safe as it ever will be, I expect.
By the time the professor had retrieved his rope, and he and Randy climbed down the side of the tower, the new god's flesh had once again been completely restored, and the citizens of Cardinia were happily munching away at the bread he'd just molted.
Randy!
The new god called down. He looked even more enormous from ground level. The crowd grew silent. All eyes followed the Pillsburg dough child's gaze to Randy.
Yes? Jesus?
I must go now and take my place in the heavens. Your faith has inspired others, and I have many prayers to answer.
Randy had never felt such a complex mix of emotions. He was at a profound loss for words.
Okay.
Remember,
said the new god,
nothing says loving like helping your fellow man.
With that, he pointed his arms at the ground and sprayed blood onto the cheering crowd. The blood shooting out of his hands and feet propelled him upward. Randy watched him ascend until he was just another star in the night sky.